earlier, I mentioned to those of you who were here at the end of the Musaf service that yesterday I attended the screening of a movie. But I didn't tell you what happened when I first walked in to the lobby of the screening room. A tall, handsome, articulate, interesting fellow walks up to me and says, "My name is Marshall Mitchell, and the last time I saw you, you were 6 years old." "No," he said, "I was 6 years old. You were older." I said, "How much older?" He said, "A good deal older," because he was taller than I am now. I said, "Really, when did we see each other?" He said, "Well, when your father left Har Zion Temple in Philadelphia in Winfield to move the synagogue out to the suburbs, my father was the reverend of the church that bought the temple. And on the day that the temple was turned into a church, we met. And our fathers, who are now in whatever other world there is, our fathers shook hands as it passed from a synagogue into a church." I said, "So you grew up like I did in Winfield?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "And despite the fact that I grew up, obviously, as a Black Baptist and not a Jew, the truth is, growing up in that neighborhood, I went to more bar mitzvahs than I did baptisms." And I thought how remarkable that was, first of all, that we saw each other after so many years. He actually lives bicoastally. He works on movies out here, and he's a pastor still back in Philadelphia, traveling back and forth. But also how beautifully it fits with what we're reading this morning. Because in this morning's reading, we read about the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel is a counterintuitive story. That is, it's a story that should be the opposite of the way it is. If you recall, all of the people of the world gather together to do one thing. In other words, they are unified. Exactly what we always say we want people to be. Why can't people just come together? Why can't people just be as one? And God looks down and scatters them and gives them different languages so they can't understand each other. And if you think about it, it makes no sense. Because for the rest of human history, we'll be trying to undo what God did and figure out how it is that we can overcome the diversity to be as one. But there is, of course, a very important and powerful message here, which is that differences are good. That the diversity of cultural traditions is not something we should be upset about. It's great. That the fact that a church exists where a synagogue once was, if done with the agreement of both sides, is a good thing, not a bad thing. That Jews have different cultural traditions and different ways of doing things, and different foods that they eat, and different melodies for their prayers. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. That there are many religions in the world. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. In the movie that I spoke about earlier, one of the things he says is, he goes, "I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, and I'm a Hindu." So the guy says to him, "Oh, you're not a Jew, huh?" He says, "Well, I teach Kabbalah at the local college." Now, it's true that, in fact, incorporating all the traditions into one person's practice is self-contradictory and impossible, but the idea that there are different traditions that can learn from each other and understand each other, that's beautiful. Judaism never existed in isolation. Our melodies, our foods, and even some of our beliefs, they were taken from the surrounding cultures. We were enriched by all the lands that we passed through, even as sometimes we were beleaguered and persecuted by them. And so when you think about the Tower of Babel, you realize that what God did was give us the chance to learn from one another. Because if everybody thinks the same, and everybody is the same, then nobody has anything to learn, and nobody has anything to teach. Terrible thing, people say, this country is divided on the left and on the right. It's only a terrible thing if we don't listen to each other. It's not a terrible thing to disagree. It's not even a terrible thing to argue. We're Jews. Arguing, disagreement is good. Every single page of the Talmud is filled with it. My Talmud teacher in rabbinical school talked about the idea of machloket. Machloket means disagreement. He said when he was a kid in yeshiva, his professor taught him something he never forgot. He said, Benzi, if you ever doze off in class and you don't know what's going on, and your teacher in Talmud ever says to you, what's going on here, and you don't know what to answer, say there's a machloket. You'll always be right. Every page of the Talmud has a disagreement. Tomorrow, I'm teaching a class of students about the ethics of controversy in Judaism. Not the existence of controversy, everybody knows, just about the ethics of it. So this has been much on my mind, and when I read the Tower of Babel, I see this as a blessing. God says, I don't want everybody to be the same, because you know what the rabbis teach? That anybody who didn't participate, or anybody who didn't conform, all the people of the Tower of Babel persecuted and killed them. Because when you have one way of thinking, you have a totalitarian state. And that means if you have one world of thinking, you have a totalitarian world. It's always the dissenter, the one who doesn't agree, who wants things different and messy. That's the one you have to listen to. So it is important that we appreciate the fact that God renews creation every day. Ma'aseh Bereshit, the working of creation, and that things are always happening and always changing and always growing. And we celebrate that legacy every day during the week and on Shabbat. And the legacy is not a single legacy, it's multiple legacies. Shivim panim l'Torah, say the rabbis. The Torah has 70 faces. So just as you've arrived at an interpretation, so will someone else, and someone else, and someone else. And guess what? They're all right. If somebody wanted to attain the Sanhedrin, the rabbinical court, they had to give 79 reasons why a sheretz, which is an impure creature, was pure. In other words, they had to prove 79 ways something that according to the Torah was not true. Not only to show mental dexterity, but to teach how important it is to put yourself in another frame of mind, to be able to learn from others, to be able to appreciate what they have to say, even when you know it's not your own opinion. That's the legacy that gets handed on. We celebrate different cultural traditions, not because one is wrong and one is right, but because all are beautiful. We live in a world of many religions, not because one has all the truth and the other one is all wrong, but because God is bigger than any single religious tradition. When God scattered all the people of Babel, he didn't say the people who go that way will be right and the people who go that way will be wrong. Instead, what God gave us was the opportunity to grow and to change. Because not only is there a diversity of traditions in the world, but there's a diversity of traditions throughout history. And that which your parents did and your grandparents did and your great-grandparents will be the same and different as that which you do. We just completed the Amidah. We just prayed the central prayer of the service. And the rabbis tell us in that prayer, We say Eloheinu ve'Elohei Avotenu, and in our tradition, ve'Imotenu. Our God and the God of our mothers and fathers. And they say, why do you need both? And their answer is, because some of the lessons about God you inherit, it has to be the God of your ancestors, because people before you have discovered things and learned things that you don't know. But God has to be your God too. It can't only be the God of a book, or the God of a teaching, or even the God of a tradition. It has to be not only the God who spoke, but the God who speaks. Not only the God who was, but the God who is. In other words, we all inherit legacies, we are all descendants, but we are all, in our different ways, ancestors too. And it's not only what others have given us, but what we will give on. And that's why, at the corner of this building, what we chose as our motto was L'Dor V'Dor, from generation to generation. What we've learned, what we will pass on, all the beauty and the wonder and the diversity and the mystery of God's world. L'Dor V'Dor.